Thank you so much for joining us today from Baker Lake.
Thank you.
Now, before we get into the UN report, just sort of bring us up to speed, especially in the last year, the issue of missing Indigenous women and murdered Aboriginal women in Canada has become, you know, has been making headlines. Just give us a little bit of background about what's been going on and why now there's such a groundswell about doing something about it.
The First Nations, looking at reports, there's been a lot of murdered and missing Aboriginal women. And with trying to deal with that, the First Nations are asking for a lot of Inuit too, that there should be a national inquiry on murdered and missing. We just came from a round table with the provinces and federal government to start looking at how this can be dealt with, since the federal government have said they're not putting the money out to do a national inquiry. We are involved as Inuit from the north and from everywhere where Inuit live, that we support our brothers and sisters that have are calling for an inquiry. But we are saying that as Inuit up in the north, where we are isolated, and 70% of our communities do not have safe shelters, that we need immediate action on the high violence. As I said, 70% of our communities do not have shelters. If the federal government puts out money for shelters on reserve, we don't have reserves up here, so we lose out. We need immediate action on the violence that goes on. We also are asking for long-term funding. Inuit has gone through, in the last 50 years, have gone through a lot, from living on the land, dealing with their own prevention, and dealing with their own, in their own way, to being colonized into, for instance, I was brought from the land to go to school and taught them. I wasn't allowed to speak my language, for instance, and I went to residential school. Those are things that today we are dealing with, and there should be immediate action on how to deal with those things. There was funding from the federal government that started on Aboriginal healing, but that has stopped also. So we are asking, we need long-term funding. We're trying to constantly educate the government that we have specific needs up here. So we want Inuit specific action plan.
And I think this is a really interesting point that you're bringing up, and that maybe a lot of people, even within Canada, let alone internationally, misunderstand is the differences. And I was thinking at the in the Maritimes, there was a big conference last year, and Terry Audle was talking about the different realities of the North, and that in the North, when it comes to violence against women, it's mostly in the context of things like domestic violence and family violence.
Yes. Because of lack of safe shelters, our women are murdered in their homes, and sometimes children too. So we are saying, look, we need services for women, so they are not, you know, at least we can, they have a place to go. Like this winter, it's minus 58 up here with the wind chill, Celsius that is. And how does one get out from their home and be safe with their children? It's minus 58 outside. So those are things that are against women who are being abused. So specific programs for Inuit, and I also run a community-based counseling service for the last almost 30 years, and we counsel in both languages because Inuit who have deep-rooted hurts, if they need to talk in their language, they should be able to do that. So that has been running. We thought it would be running for a year, but it has been running that long. It shows that the need is there. And I think we're the only ones that have that in the North. So we are looked at as a model. I was doing a presentation on Inuit Studies Conference, and somebody from Europe came and said this would work because up here it's really hard to get people to move here that have all these degrees, and they don't know the community, so it's important that services that we provide are geared towards the people and the language.
And I'm just thinking, when I'm listening to you talk, I'm thinking about women from the Arctic that I've interviewed that have, and how they've dealt with these problems. And there's two sort of things that keep coming up. One is that to really feel safe, many of the women I interviewed, they had to come to the south, like Toronto or Halifax or places like that. But in doing that, they felt completely alienated because they weren't just away from their abusive partner. They were away from their family, from their friends. And when they got services here, they talked about how hard it was to talk about these issues in a language that wasn't Inuktitut, that wasn't their native language.
Mm-hmm.
What would you like to see as part of the Canadian Inuit Women's Organization? What would a solution look like that would work in the North, where you could protect women and families, but not take them too far out of their communities? But in communities that are so small, how can you protect a woman in an abusive relationship in a small community?
Yes, in a small community, if you want to leave and get your own house, it's almost impossible. There's a long list of people who, you know, they wait for years sometimes to get a house. I think agencies that we work with, like the RCMP, are starting to be more Inuit RCMP who understand communities, and we are at this round table, we are working more with the RCMP. So, you know, when a woman calls and need help, they can respond quicker before things are out of hand, you know. So those are things that we are working on. And we also have a problem with when the woman goes south to get away. We all, Tawkutit is also starting to deal with human trafficking. So the woman usually sometimes don't even have money to, when they move south. So they get into other things that, you know, they can get themselves, be vulnerable to other abuses. So those are things that Tawkutit look at to see what else, you know, we can do to. And we want a close working relationship with the federal government. So those things are worked out together in all levels. We spend so much educating the government and people that come up that, you know, it takes a lot of energy and time. So when we work together at that level, people are getting the same information.
And from your vantage point as someone who's been working in this area for some time, what do you see is the biggest obstacle when you're dealing with the different levels of government? Do you feel that the Nunavut government is more responsible? Do you think that the federal government is there ill will, or is it just a matter of miscommunication, or maybe not enough intercultural understanding? What do you think some of the real blocks are in terms of actually moving ahead on some of these issues you've outlined for us today?
As I said earlier, that I think when services are running well, like as I mentioned, MeEnergie, which is a community-based counseling, we are asking that those things that are helping the Inuit should have long-term funding. Like I mentioned, the Aboriginal Healing Foundation ran for several years, but you don't people don't heal overnight. Sometimes mm-hmm. it takes years.
Right.
And sometimes the abuses are intergenerational. If you don't stop, you know, somewhere and get help. So those are things that I fight for as a president. Programs that have long-term funding.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to tell us about your work, and we'll certainly be talking to you again in the future as we watch these stories and projects unfold.
Thank you very much.